Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. We design, craft and install beautiful kitchens. cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb@rte.ie.
Tourism operators across the country are reporting a decline in revenue across every major overseas market this year. The dip comes despite the fact that Ireland was seeing a recovery in the number of North American tourists in June after a worrying decline in numbers between January and May. Eoin O'Mara Walsh is the CEO of the Tourism Industry Federation. He joins me in studio. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Philip.
What's going on?
Well, it's a tale of two halves to a certain extent, because the North American market is doing pretty well. And that's important because US in particular visitors spend a long time in the country, tour the regions, spend quite a lot of money. However, other markets are soft. So our other big markets traditionally are GB, France and Germany. And they're all soft, which is a concern. And the domestic market, a lot of Irish people are holidaying abroad rather than holidaying at home. So overall, it's a pretty challenging year for the Irish tourism sector.
How big is the Asian market in Ireland now? You see, anecdotally, quite a lot of coaches full of Chinese tourists.
Yeah, it's not particularly big. You know, it's single-digit numbers. I mean, a few years back, we had great hopes for, for example, the Chinese market. We had, you know, direct air access into Dublin. COVID put paid to that, and we haven't really recovered it. So certainly, I think, you know, looking forward, there's a need to market diversify, because we're nearly over-dependent on the North American market at the moment, particularly the US market. We know with the dollar weakening, we know with the tariff tensions, we know with Donald Trump, that there's no kind of, if you like, guarantee of future growth from the US market. So we do need to diversify. That includes Asia and kind of new and developing markets. But I think there's better growth prospects in continental Europe. There's a lot of French and German business we're not picking up at the moment. And of course, GB, our nearest neighbour, has a lot of stuff to give us as well.
Let's look to the European market in a second. On America, I was just looking at the currency charts there. When people were making their holiday arrangements back in January and February, they were getting a lot of tourism for their buck, so to speak. You might be worried about what's going to happen next year, given where the dollar is at.
Exactly. The dollar has weakened, I think it's about 15% in the last 3 or 4 months. Obviously, all the tariffs we fear are going to impact on the US economy. There's kind of lots of macroeconomic and geopolitical uncertainty out there, which doesn't suit tourism. Tourism is uniquely exposed to external events. So the US market could be softer next year. Now, the good thing is that the air access is very strong, particularly with Aer Lingus. There's a lot of new transatlantic air access. Dublin is being used as a hub airport between the North American bloc and the European continent. That should be good for Irish tourism. But undoubtedly, we can't depend on a strong US market in 2026. It's pretty good in 2025, but 2026 could be more challenging. Therefore, we do need to fish from other markets.
Before we talk about what other markets, what's gone wrong in Europe? Has word got out that we are one of the most expensive destinations in Europe?
Well, Eurostat figures from last month, you've probably seen, we are the second most expensive country in the EU at this stage. We're a Northern European country. Thankfully, Fáilte Ireland, who do some really good work on this, they survey visitors as they leave the country. And one of the key questions is, did you find Ireland a value for money experience? And thankfully, the majority still find Ireland value for money. The big problem in Europe is the strength of the European economies. If you think about, you know, even us coming up, you know, deciding on holiday destinations, we look at what's in our bank account, what's in our wallet. Unfortunately, the German economy, the French economy, the British economy are all struggling, and therefore discretionary income is tighter, and therefore the second and third holiday is often sacrificed, and Ireland kind of falls into that category.
So what do we need to do by way of diversification then?
Well, there's a couple of things. I think we need to defend and deepen the US market, because we can't just turn our back on our most valuable market. And please God, fingers crossed, there'll be good business from that in future years. But we do need to be more active and penetrate other markets. A lot of that comes down to budget. So industry is doing their bit, but Brand Ireland is a government responsibility. So Tourism Ireland are the state agency for tourism. They have finite budgets. We'd like to see a step change in marketing budgets for overseas markets in the upcoming budget, because the only way really to get traction in the likes of Germany or France or Britain is to spend big on advertising and marketing, because the product in Ireland, the tourism product, is very good. As I say, Fáilte Ireland survey visitors as they leave the country to ask about value, but they also ask about whether the holiday experience met and exceeded expectations. times, and we do well on that front.
What you're calling for, though, is a very tricky balancing act. You're saying that the government can't and shouldn't break faith with the North American market, but at the same time, we also need to pivot our attention elsewhere. How can you do that within finite budgets?
Well, you're right. We need to de-risk. So it's not turning our back on the States by any stretch of the imagination, but we do need to look at other markets. It's interesting to look at tourism budgets. There's economic consultants who estimate that for every euro a tourist spends, 29 cent goes right back to the exchequer in tourism-related taxes. So that means about 2.9 billion euro was contributed by the Irish tourism industry to the national coffers last year. And yet, in last year's budget, only 251 million euro was spent on tourism services. So it's so the return on investment, is what I'm saying, is indisputable. And there's a very strong case for a step change in tourism budgets in order to allow us to market diversify, in order to allow us to de-risk.
What view have you taken on the 4.5% cut to the VAT rate as proposed? Presumably, it doesn't really make that much of a difference to the five-star end of the market, where people aren't going to be swayed by those kind of smaller marginal price increases or decreases.
Yeah, I think the upper end of the market, the five-star market, it's not applicable. But remember, the 9%, and there is an expectation within the industry that 9% will be delivered by government in the budget. 9% is for food services. That was what was in the programme for government. So for restaurants, for cafes, for food-led businesses. There's a strong expectation that will be delivered. And it's absolutely critical for those low-margin businesses that, you know, they're wrestling every single day with cost of business pressure, whether it's labour or utilities or energy or insurance. One of the few things that government can control is the VAT rate that's charged on top of all of that. And the reduction to 9% will certainly help those businesses get through what's going to be a difficult period ahead.
Now, the big thing that is completely out of the control of government is the Italian, the German, the French, the British economies, and how much money people there are going to have to spend. What, if anything, can we do to improve our European tourism figures?
Well, as I say, you know, you might have continental European economies in the doldrums somewhat, but there's still a very large outbound travel market, and we need more market share. There's about 80 million outbound trips from Germany every single year. We get a fraction of that. So, you know, despite economic, if you like, headwinds against us, I still think there's a lot of fish that we can fish, if you like, in those markets. I think government can do a few things. There's cost of business pressures that are facing Irish tourism and hospitality businesses, competitiveness pressures, if you like. I think government could make steps in that regard to allow Irish tourism and hospitality businesses to be that little bit more competitive. There's a lot of capacity constraints on the tourism economy at the moment. We know there's a Dublin Airport passenger cap which needs to be relieved. We know that there's proposed legislation from government which risks denuding coastal and rural Ireland of holiday homes and self-catering properties throughout the country, a staple of the Irish tourism product. So aside from investment in what is Ireland's largest indigenous industry and biggest regional employer, there's stuff on connectivity and competitiveness that government should do to support the sector.
What you said about relieving the restrictions on flights at Dublin Airport is obviously an incredibly complex issue. Has the tourism industry examined other ways of incentivizing tourists to come to Ireland that doesn't involve flying?
Sure. I mean, you know, sea access is particularly important to Irish tourism, and it's something that we're always encouraging. And in fact, it supports sort of slow tourism, which is important. I think Shannon Airport and Cork Airport have a lot to give as well, and I think government could be more supportive of them. But none of that is going to compensate for an arbitrary cap at Dublin Airport. We are an island nation. There's no roads and no bridges, no tunnels off the island. If we want to activate and we want to secure access to our key source markets, we need headroom at Dublin Airport. So it was in the programme for government. I know you say it's a complex issue. Undoubtedly it is. But government have had an awful lot of time to debate it and tease it out. And we're still at the same stage as we have been for a long time. Okay. It needs to be addressed urgently.
And why is more flights from Shannon and Cork not an answer?
Well, it is an answer. And there's nothing stopping airlines at the moment piling into Shannon and Cork. And in fact, if you look at Cork, it's double-digit increases. Shannon also has seen an increase. So there is growth at regional airports. I think government could be doing more in terms of supporting some of the CapEx spend at those airports, allowing those airports to incentivize airlines into those regional parts of the country. But Dublin Airport is the key gateway into the country. I mentioned Aer Lingus before. They're Dublin as a hub strategy between North America and Europe. Other airlines think similarly. So that cap at Dublin Airport needs to be lifted.
Okay. You have quite a job of work to do to persuade domestic customers of the virtues of staying at home if the texts that we're receiving today are anything to go by. Just a sample, Muirin says, we priced two nights in Killarney, €760 for two nights for two adults and one child. We got a four-star hotel in Gran Canaria for six nights for €666. Crazy and outrageous prices in Ireland. What needs to be done, apart from getting a control on those prices or handle on those prices, to persuade or to encourage domestic tourism?
Well, domestic tourism is very important to the Irish economy, Irish tourism economy. It makes up about 25%, 30% of the Irish tourism economy. But most of our business does come from overseas source markets. I think the thing to remember is the Eurostat data from last month, showing Ireland as the second most expensive country in the EU, that feeds its way into hotel prices, pub prices, restaurant prices. What the main thing that Irish tourism has to do is remain value for money. We will never be the cheapest destination. We will never be able to compete with Gran Canaria or the Med destinations. We're now a Northern European country. We have to make sure that the domestic market and the international consumer have a really good time, a really good holiday experience in the country. If we lose the quality of the product, then we have a problem. But unfortunately, we can never compete on price. Saying that, if government can help on things like VAT and things like energy and things like insurance, then that should mean that Irish tourism is that little bit better value for money.
How big an advantage is our weather to us now, when it had been considered such a disadvantage in the past, with wildfires raging across Turkey and Greece and elsewhere around the Mediterranean and very uncomfortable temperatures throughout the summer for many people? Does Ireland have a unique selling point in this regard now?
I suppose it does to a certain extent, but I'm always uncomfortable, if you like, pitching Ireland as a solution to the heat waves going on as a result of climate change. That's something that doesn't sit very well with me, or indeed with the overall Irish tourism industry. I think we will get a bit of a bounce. We all know that July and August is insufferably hot on the European mainland. So northern European countries like Ireland will get a bit of a bounce. But I think climate change and sustainability is the existential issue of our time. So I think all of us, including the Irish tourism industry, have got to put the shoulder to the wheel to ensure that we reduce our carbon footprint as much as possible.
While also lifting the cap on flights at Dublin Airport. It's a bit contradictory, isn't it?
Yeah, well, listen, we are an island nation. There's no two ways about it. On the ground in Ireland, we're doing some really wonderful stuff in terms of sustainability. You look at the Shannon River Cruises, for example. There's 250 boats on the Shannon. They now all operate on hydro-treated vegetable oil rather than diesel. That means they've reduced their carbon footprint by 92%. To get
small
to the
potatoes by comparison with emissions generated by flights, though.
Yeah, I mean, aviation accounts for about 2-3% of greenhouse gas emissions globally. The aviation sector is really difficult to decarbonize. Saying that, airports and airlines themselves are doing some seriously good things on decarbonisation.
But they've been promising good things on decarbonisation. They haven't been delivering within a timeline that's meaningful, though.
Well, you look at the likes of Aer Lingus, who are going to operate about 10% of their flights using sustainable aviation fuel by 2030. That's well ahead of the EU mandate. So we've been leaders in aviation since GPA. I think we're going to be leaders in aviation sustainability. But we do have to be mindful that we're an island nation. We don't have the flexibility in terms of roads or trains or bridges that other countries have. But it is a critical issue for the sector.
Una Mara Walsh, thank you very much for joining us this morning. Some news just into us that we were dealing with at the top of the programme, speculation over Drew Harris's successor as Garda Commissioner. It was something that was being debated at Cabinet, and the decision has been made. And his successor is to be the current Deputy Commissioner, Justin Kelly. This is something that our Crown correspondent Paul Reynolds is reporting to us. Justin Kelly is somebody who has served for over 30 years within An Garda Síochána at all ranks. And just looking through his CV, there is It is long and storied and includes investigations into drugs, organised crime, cyber crime, economic crime, the full gamut there. So that is just into us now. Justin Kelly as the new Garda Commissioner, succeeding Drew Harris. Right now, it's almost 10 to 12. Let's take a break.
Text 51551 today with Clare Byrne on RTE Radio 1.